Our next case is FlexStent v. Abbott Vascular and Abbott Laboratories, 2021-1246. Franzini.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. This appeal turns on the meaning of two plural nouns, horizontal branches, vertical branches.
I thought this appeal relates to the meaning of the word comprises, which is well established in patent practice.
Your Honor, this appeal does not turn on the meaning of comprises. Comprises is, as Your Honor said, well established. No one disputes that when you have a preamble that introduces elements with the phrase which comprises, that means that you can add unrecited elements to the claimed apparatus. The question is, what are the recited elements and what are the unrecited elements in this case? Here, the two elements that are recited are plural nouns. And plural nouns can have one of two possible meanings. They can refer to two or more out of potentially many. So for example, if I say those lions over there look hungry, I'm talking about two or more lions out of potentially more lions in the room. But if I say lions have manes, the plural noun lions, that's not referring to two or more lions out of potentially many. It's not a subset. It's referring to an entire class, the class of those things.
What would there be? So you've got comprises, vertical branches, and horizontal branches. And your view is that there can be no other vertical branches or horizontal branches that don't meet the specific requirements of the claim defining vertical branches and horizontal branches. What else would there be? With the use of the word comprises, can you tell me what sort of element possibly you would consider would fall within the scope of this claim that wouldn't be either a vertical branch or a horizontal branch? What else would there be?
So one example, Your Honor, would be a drug-eluting coating, where you can put a coating over the branches. That's an additional element that can be found in a stent.
But it's your view that there could be no other mechanical structure.
There could be no other horizontal branches or vertical branches.
What else could there be besides horizontal branches and vertical branches?
I haven't thought about that, Your Honor. You could have something sticking out of a vertical branch, for example, a bump sticking out of a vertical branch. That would be a mechanical structure that would be found on the stent.
Would that be common to have a bump on a stent?
It could be, Your Honor.
But so your point is, I guess, that it's you're claiming a vascular stent, and so when you say comprising, you didn't just claim branches. You're saying there's other things like a coating that could be on the vascular stent. Is that your point?
That's right, Your Honor. So you have a vascular stent, and it recites two elements that must be there, and those are these two classes of components, vertical branches, horizontal branches.
As in Apple Samsung, the word each was important. You have the word each in the written description, but why didn't you put the word each in the claim? So in other words, claim one could say, and horizontal branches each having waveform properties.
Your Honor, if the claim said horizontal branches each having waveform projections, for example, that would have the exact same meaning as the claim we have here. Let me explain why. The phrase horizontal branches having waveform projections, that means that the recited horizontal branches, whatever we decide the recited horizontal branches are, those branches have waveform projections. I don't think that's in dispute. What's in dispute is whether, in addition to those recited horizontal branches, you can have some additional horizontal branches that are not recited. So if the horizontal branches having waveform, so in other words, that claim element means that every single one, each of the horizontal branches that are recited, those have to have waveform projections. And that's exactly the same as what was the case in Apple v. Samsung. There we had a plurality of modules, and then each of those modules in the plurality had to make use of a different heuristic algorithm.
Aside from the fact that comprises has this well-known, established, expansive meaning, the specification itself has a disclosure which is just slightly but broader than the specific dimensions in Claim 1. So that supports the established meaning of comprises.
I don't think it does, Your Honor. Let me explain why.
0.09 is not larger than 0.08?
9 is larger than 0.08, Your Honor. But let's be clear about what the disclosure is. The disclosure says that the stent of Figure 1 can have horizontal branches ranging in width from 0.05 to 0.09 millimeters. As my friend on the other side admits, the stent of Figure 1 has uniform branches. So that disclosure is a disclosure that every single one of the horizontal branches in the Figure 1 stent, those branches can have a width of 0.09 millimeters. That disclosure isn't covered by the claims in our construction, and it's not covered by the claims under Abbott's construction. It is an unclaimed embodiment under either side's construction. So that...
You mean it's not within comprises?
It's not within comprises. Could you say more about that, Your Honor? I'm not sure I understand the question.
You mean that disclosure is not within the claim which uses the word comprises?
That's right, Your Honor. I think that disclosure, a stent that has horizontal branches whose width is 0.09 millimeters, that is not within the claim under our construction, and it's also not within the comprising claim under Abbott's construction.
So you want us to give comprises a meaning other than its established meaning, and in doing so, to ignore a broader disclosure in your specification, call it an unclaimed disclosure.
No, Your Honor, for two reasons. First, what we're asking Your Honor to do is to give comprising its established meaning, which is that you can have additional unclaimed elements, but you can't undo the elements that are claimed. So here, if the horizontal branches and vertical branches refer to classes, then there can be no other branches. So the meaning of comprises is still that you can have more unclaimed stuff. It's just that you can't have stuff that defeats one of the limitations in the claim. With respect to
what in your specification will help me to understand that you intended comprises? I see this as a claim, case involving the meaning of comprises, that we should give comprises a different interpretation than being open-ended language.
Yes, Your Honor. So in the specification, the specification describes the purpose, what this invention is about. And it explains that the improvement over the prior art claims the improvement over prior art stents is that this stent is more flexible and has better clinical outcomes, less restenosis.
But even the embodiment of Figure 1 meets that criteria, right?
The Figure 1 embodiment, yes, Your Honor, it does. But again, the Figure 1 embodiment, it's not an embodiment that's claimed under their construction, but not under ours. It's an embodiment that most of it is claimed under both sides' constructions, and there's a small sliver of it that's unclaimed under either side's construction. Because again, if all of the horizontal branches have a width of 0.09 millimeters, then it doesn't meet the claims under either side.
I don't think their construction is that all of the horizontal branches need to have a particular thickness range. I don't think that's their construction. So I think you might be incorrect, but we can ask them about
that. Well, I don't actually even understand your answer. Couldn't comprising include different widths, but just not exclude a wavelength? I mean, there's a difference between saying it can have something else and saying it can actually wipe out a particular element that you're claiming.
So I think there's two questions here, so I'll take them in order if that's all right with Your Honor.
Okay.
So with respect to Judge Stoll's question, under Abbott's construction, there have to be two horizontal branches that are within 0.5 to 0.8 millimeters.
Right, but there might be other branches that are not within those dimensions, and there might be other branches that don't have the wavelength, right?
That's right. So under Abbott's construction, the figure one embodiment, if you set the width of the horizontal branches to 0.09 millimeters, that embodiment is excluded by their construction too. It does not fall within the claims because it lacks a horizontal branch that is between two horizontal branches between 0.05 and 0.08 millimeters.
Phillips applies to this claim construction issue, right?
Phillips does apply to this claim construction issue, Your Honor. And the way it applies is that when you have two possible meanings of a claim term, such as a plural noun, horizontal branches or vertical branches, then you can look to the specification to determine which of the two interpretations is consistent with the specification.
You're just saying we're not using BRI here. It's not the broadest reasonable interpretation consistent with the specification.
Well, I'm sorry.
I understand. Why don't you answer Judge O'Malley's question now?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, I don't really understand your response that it can't include different widths. I mean, you claim specific widths, but you have comprising. So presumably you could have different widths. The question is, does the comprising language allow your friend on the other side to say we can completely do away with the precisely claimed wavelength element?
So comprising, okay, the recited element, horizontal branches, if that refers to an entire class of components within the stent, if it refers to the horizontal branches class of component, then that, to meet the limitation, horizontal branches having waveform projections, you would need the entire class of components that constitute horizontal branches to have the limitation of having waveform projections. If you add a horizontal branch that's straight, then that limitation is no longer satisfied because you no longer have horizontal branches having waveform projections.
Now, what if you have just two? I mean, the claim says a vascular stent which comprises horizontal branches having waveform projections and other limitations. Why couldn't you have horizontal branches with some other structure? I mean, when it says comprises, I look at a vascular stent which comprises one vertical branches, two horizontal branches. Maybe I could have diagonal branches. Maybe I could have horizontal branches that have a different characteristic than what's claimed as having waveform projections. Why should I think that your claim should be interpreted differently than other claims that use comprises?
Well, because I don't think it should. The answer is I don't think it should be interpreted differently, and here's why. Horizontal branches is a plural noun that can refer to a category or a class.
There's nothing in here saying every horizontal branch having blah, 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 or each horizontal branch having blah, blah, blah. There's nothing like that in this claim.
Well, there's...
It's a very broad claim. Go ahead.
There's the plural noun, horizontal branches. A plural noun can refer to a class, or it can refer to two or more. out of many. So we need to look at the context to determine which of these two meanings applies. Does the claim element refer to an entire class, or does it refer to a subset of two or more? If it refers to an entire class, if that word, horizontal branches, means the horizontal branch element of the stent, of the claim stent, then you can't add an additional horizontal branch that lacks the limitations that follow, because the claim tells us, that limitation tells us, the horizontal branches class of component that has to have waveform projections. As soon as you add one.
You've just about used all of your time. Why don't we hear from the other side, and we'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Morrow.
Thank you. May it please the court. When the inventor of the 035 patent wrote these claims more than two decades ago, he wrote the claims broadly as comprising claims that had two elements, horizontal branches with certain characteristics and vertical branches with certain characteristics. He did not use claim language like consisting of. He did not say all or every or each branch had to have these characteristics.
But it does say that in the written description, doesn't it?
It says at one point in time, Judge O'Malley, it says horizontal branches each have, when describing a preferred embodiment, these waveform projections. And we would say that helps us and not the other side, because in the specification, when describing an embodiment, they use the word each. They knew how to use that word. They claimed it more broadly.
But there is no embodiment in the written description that doesn't have a waveform projection on each horizontal branch, right?
That is true. The one embodiment that's depicted in the patent has a waveform projection in all of, or each of, you could say, the horizontal branches. That's how the embodiment happens to work. You know, of course, as Judge
Rich...
You're
saying that comprises here could mean that you don't have horizontal branches at all.
Oh, no, Your Honor. We are in agreement with our...
How do we get to that? You're basically saying that we can use the comprising language to say we claim black, but it could be white.
No, Your Honor. If you claim black, you have to include black with a comprising claim. This claim would not be met by a stent that did not have at least two horizontal branches with waveform projections. That's a requirement of the claim. The question before this court is, let's say there's 100 horizontal branches. Some of these stents are very long with lots of components. Do all 100 have to have waveform projections, or is it met by something where 99 have waveform projections?
So you're just saying it was just poor claim drafting, because if you read the written description, there's nothing that shows a horizontal branch without a waveform.
I would respectfully disagree that it was poor claim drafting in the following sense. It was very smart claim drafting, so that a unscrupulous copyist couldn't change just one branch out of 100 on the stent and take it slightly outside or get rid of the horizontal branch and avoid the patent. But when they cast that wide net, they scooped up unknowingly the prior art, because there are prior art stents that have varying branches, some of which fall within the claims and some of which fall outside the claims. So I think it was very smart claim drafting, other than unknowingly, the prior art ended up falling inside of their net. It would have been a very poor and pretty useless claim to require that each and every of, let's say, 100 horizontal branches met these requirements. An example is one that Judge Lurie brought up in the questioning beforehand. Let's say 99 of 100 horizontal branches were within 0.05 to 0.08 width, but the 100th branch was at 0.09. That is optimal according to the patent. It is a preferred embodiment to be up to 0.09. The prosecution history specifically says that's optimal. Yet under the claim language that requires all elements to meet those characteristics, it wouldn't fall within the scope of the claim. They wrote the most practical claim they could think of writing. The problem was 20 years later, when they decided to come after us on it, we found prior art that ended up invalidating the patent. But they could have used the word each. They chose not to. The other side.
I can't help but get over the feeling that if we were here on an infringement claim, that you would be arguing that you don't infringe because you don't have a wavelength in every single one of the vertical branches.
I think it would be a very poor argument, Your Honor. It doesn't say each or every or all. This plural noun stuff, which is really the only, other side's only argument, has no basis in the law. There's not a single case from this court or any court, which is why they have to refer to some 2010 conference on computational grammar to try to make the argument, and it fails on its face. They say lions have manes. Of course you can define something a certain way. You can say bananas are yellow as an example they give, even though many are green. That is not what's happening here. What happens in these claims, and of course Judge Rich said the name of the game is the claim, and in their specification they say the examples, like most patents, are non-limiting, and we would refer to the claims, they say it's their last sentence for the boundaries of the invention. The problem is here is they've written practical, broad claims to try to capture people who use elements of their invention, and it happened to scoop up the prior art. There was an easy way for them to solve this problem if they wanted all elements to have it. They would have said each or every or all. The best case that they rely on, according to them, and the only case you heard about in the presentation of the other side, Apple, turns expressly on the fact that each is present in the claim. So much so that they talked about the location of the word each in the claim. They said that because it says each heuristic module, it means all heuristic modules, but if it had said each of a plurality of heuristic modules, if it had been placed there, it would have been an open-ended claim. So in the end of the day, their arguments all fail on their basic premises. I will say that the one argument that we heard them repeat in their presentation, my friend said, the patent says that the stents are more flexible and have better outcomes than stents that don't use these features. Your Honors will, and I think it's illustrative, if I'm not exceeding the boundaries, to look at, for example, a stent on page 63 of our red brief. We have 10 pages of examples of stents where some stents, some of the branches meet the elements and have horizontal with waveforms, and some do not. Those would fall within the claims as they wrote. You see an example at the bottom of page 63 of Penn Figure 11. It was part of the record below that the board cited to and gets a deference on. It doesn't need to be. Horizontal branches are not like lions to be defined as whether they have manes. There are lots of examples, 10 pages of which we put in our red brief, that have some branches with curves or waveform projections and some with straight portions. And after we did that, they admitted the basic premise of their case away. In their blue brief, you look at page 24, they say, here's why all of them have to meet it. They say, if you vary from the claimed dimensions and the claimed characteristics in any of the branches, they said you'll have poor outcomes. That's at page 24 of their brief. We cited 10 pages of these stents and examples, and in their gray brief, they gave it all up. On gray brief, page 20, they said, of course, there are stents that do not meet the claims under flex stents construction that would still achieve the benefits of the invention. They admit that they don't all have to be within those ranges to get the benefits. At page 24 of the gray brief, FlexStent is not claiming that every stent with a single branch falling outside the claim ranges would lead to adverse clinical outcomes. The basic premise of their whole argument is, in order to have a good stent, you could put their blue brief against their gray brief. The blue brief says, in order to have a good stent, everything has to be within the claimed characteristics, all branches. We proved that wrong. In their gray brief, they said, you're right, they don't all have to meet the claimed dimensions.
But if you read what they said in the gray brief, in fairness, what they're saying is, yeah, but there are different ways to achieve, but only two meeting the dimensions would not achieve it.
Oh, but there's, first of all, evidence to the contrary on that point, and we pointed to that in pages 61 through 70 of the brief. As a matter of fact, we pointed to stents like the Lau stent, and I'll give the citation for the record, and we pointed this out in our red brief, A1366, and then the admission of the other side, Dr. Solar, at A1799, that you could be even more flexible using straight connectors, like in the Lau stent, than the curve connectors or the waveform projections in their stent, which means by definition you could have a few curve connectors and the rest straight connectors like we saw in Penn figure 11 or like we saw in Richter 404 and still achieve the benefits of the invention. We have 10 pages of examples where this happens.
Mr. Morin, can I ask you a question about the specification? So one thing I saw in the specification that I thought was interesting is around column 2, line 22, it says, figure 1 is a developmental figure of the vascular stent, which comprises horizontal and vertical branches linked to one another. Each of the horizontal branch possesses a waveform, and it goes on. Should I look at this as them attempting to give a special definition for comprises? They use comprises all throughout their specification, which is kind of different. People don't usually do that. It's usually something in a claim, and in patent claims, we usually say that comprises is open-ended. But here, in the specific language that I cited to you, could one look at that and say that was an attempt to try to be a lexicographer on comprises to give it some meaning and consistent with its usual use in patent law?
I don't think so. I think that would be unprecedented in this court's history to allow someone to do that. It would have to be something so much more clear and unmistakable. It would have to say something like, imagine this, by comprising, quote unquote, we define that or that means consisting of. It's not good enough to talk about one preferred embodiment and says each has a waveform projection. Keep in mind two things about that. One is, each never is applied to the vertical branches. That would have to be the case for his argument to hang up and hold on. Each is never used there. And like we said, and I think we cited case law in our red brief for this proposition, that when the patentee shows they knew how to use the word each.
Why would each have to apply to the vertical branches? Because they're not claiming that the vertical branches have waveform projections.
Yes, but they are claiming under their argument vertical branches, all of the vertical branches also have to meet those claim characteristics. That's what their argument is together, that both all of the horizontal branches and all the vertical branches need to meet these particular characteristics. The other thing is that if you turn to the next page.
Is there some reason to distinguish for us to say that the limitations for the waveform are somehow different than the limitations for the dimensions?
No, Judge Stahl. They all rise or fall together, and I think our friends on the other side would agree with that. They've argued them collectively.
Why do you say that?
Because I've argued them collectively. They have their plural noun phrase term they seem to be using for the proposition that all of the horizontal branches have to have the claim characteristics and all the vertical branches have to have the claim characteristics. But either way, I see the argument as academic. When you go back to the claim, and the language immediately preceding the claim makes it clear that the scope of the invention, I know it's boilerplate, but they're stuck with it, is therefore to be determined solely by the appended claims. They pointed out that this is just a preferred embodiment that they were describing beforehand. And by the way, that preferred embodiment makes it so abundantly clear that not all of the elements have to have those characteristics.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, let's get away from the way they argued it.
Sure.
And look at what's in the patent.
Of course.
Okay, I mean, because this is one of those things you read it and you say, what did they invent? And it sure looks like they invented something where every single horizontal branch has a waveform.
Well, they didn't invent that. We're replete with evidence in the prior art where every horizontal branch has a waveform projection. We've cited many of those cases. Richter 404, which is the prior art that we used against them, every horizontal branch had a waveform projection. The near stent, every...
But Richter wasn't discussed by the board, right?
Oh, no, it was. That was the reference that they ended up invalidating on. Richter 404 in combination with the near stent, which was ground one of the petition that the board found in our favor on, every single horizontal branch has a curve in both of those references that they combined. There are...
Fischel doesn't.
What's that?
Fischel does not.
Fischel, the ground two that they does not expressly, it's an obviousness argument, the pictured embodiment in Fischel figure 8, which is stent 10, has some with curves and some without curves. And our argument there is that it would still be obvious because it says two or more can have undulations. But when you go back to the near stent, ground one, which we also won on, both near and Richter 404, both of them, it's undisputed, all horizontal branches had curved connectors. They all did. So the ground one, which we won on, the issue of whether they all have or do not have horizontal branch with waveform projections is not a live issue. They all do. And I think our friends on the other side won't disagree with that. It's just, it's in the record. We could point to those specific references if you'd like. Richter 404 is on A1657. And if you look at the embodiment there, what you will see is volume 2 is just one example. And again, this was the ground 1 reference. What you'll see is figure 2, and I'm just holding it up for the court's reference. Of course, you'll look at it, but all of the horizontal branches have curved connectors. That was our ground 1 prior art reference. So that's neither here nor there with respect to whether they all have to have them. In the end of the day, though, they claim the stent broadly because there are examples that I just showed this panel, this court, of course, like Penn figure 11, where some are straight and some are curved, and that was a known way to do it. Their claims would have been effectively useless. They're more useless now because they're invalid, but their claims would have been effectively useless if they had required every single branch to meet those elements because anyone could have just changed one of the branches. And they could have changed it going full circle to Judge Lurie's comment on the 0.09 being outside the range. The only place I would very respectfully disagree, Judge Lurie, is you said that's a small amount. When you're dealing with tiny, tiny coronary arteries, the entire range is 0.05 to 0.08. So if I hold my hands out here, it's a full third more than that range. That's a lot. This is not a small amount you're dealing with. And if you were to credit the file history, they say in the file history in the Jane Declaration, 0.01 can be the difference between a good stent and a bad stent. So we're not dealing with small amounts. In the distance from me to Judge Lurie, maybe 0.01 millimeters is small. In the distance between when you're dealing with the widths of the tiny, tiny struts of a coronary stent, it can make all the difference in the world.
I understand your point, and your time has expired.
Thank you.
Mr. Franzini has a couple of minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honors. I want to make 3 points in rebuttal. The first is going back to Judge O'Malley's question, what did the inventor invent? If you look at it, it's not just having waveform projections on all of the horizontal branches. It's a stent that has waveform projections on all the horizontal branches and also has its branches falling within these narrow dimensional ranges. If just two branches, stents have many branches, and the branches, they're not the entire ring that goes all the way around the stent or the entire length of the stent. They're just one little segment. That's undisputed. I think my friend and I would agree with me on that. So if you just have two of each having waveform projections and falling within those ranges, you're not going to get a good stent. You don't get the stent that the inventor invented. You don't get a stent that has less restenosis.
Can't the inventor choose, though, to say, my embodiment, 100, let's say there's 100, all 100 have waveforms, but I want to make sure that my claims are not easily designed around, so I'm going to use open-ended comprising language. Doesn't mean it's just two. It could be 99 out of 100. It could be 50 out of 100. It could be 75.
Well, by doing it that way, I mean, if your goal was to avoid, you know, somebody...
Your goal was to make sure that you encompass a broad range of accused devices.
Well, if you make it so broad that you completely eliminate all the benefits of your invention, then that's not a good idea precisely because you end up tripping on prior art, right? So you want to interpret the claim in a way that actually gives effect to the inventor's invention. Here, having just two branches of each type meeting the shape and size limitations, that doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't achieve any of the benefits that are described in the specification.
Even though there are embodiments that couldn't fall within the claim that don't have wavelengths on each and every horizontal branch, but yet might still provide flexibility and strength.
So to be clear, there are no embodiments that lack waveform projections.
In your patent
In the patent, that's right.
I understand.
And of course, I mean, you can achieve flexibility in different ways, but the patent here is achieving flexibility in a particular way, which is by having the waveform projections and by keeping the branches within narrow ranges. And you don't get that, you don't achieve that benefit in the claimed way, in the way described in the patent, unless all of the branches, or at least substantially all the branches, have waveform projections.
Thank you, counsel. We will take the case under submission.
Thank you, Your Honors.